This afternoon, we want to continue our study out of 2 Thessalonians, and I'm going to be doing a little bit different this afternoon, because as I was doing this morning, we'll continue with that next Sunday morning, as we look at the various aspects that Paul looks at about the day of the Lord that is coming. One of the things that we mentioned that Paul was writing his two letters to the Thessalonians about. The first letter was written, and much of the first letter dealt with the fact that they had not missed the rapture, what the rapture was, and what they could look forward to. And the second letter has this whole passage in the second chapter dealing with the day of the Lord. And Paul is laying out the difference that they will not have to go through the day of the Lord, experiencing the wrath of God. And as we laid out a little bit of the foundation from prophecy this morning, the day of the Lord is really dealing with the last week of the 70 weeks of Daniel, which are weeks of years, and that there's a seven-year period that's going to be coming, which is referred to as Jacob's trouble. The day of wrath, the day of the Lord, will be the final culmination of that 7 weeks where God, Jesus, returns to earth to judge his enemies and to establish his kingdom. This afternoon, I just wanted to go through, in his Bible commentary, William MacDonald wrote down 13 differences between the rapture and the revelation or the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes to judge as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I just wanted to go through briefly those 13 points to help you, give you an understanding, because even when we sing some of our hymns, some of the hymn writers are, well, the one that is a little confusing is "The King is Coming," because a lot of people take that hymn to mean the rapture. Well, it's not really the rapture if you listen to the words, because it's not talking about calling his people home, but it's the Lord returning to earth. And when he returns to earth, everything stops and everything acknowledges that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that would be the second coming of Christ when he appears on the day of wrath and after the day of wrath when he establishes his kingdom here on earth. And so we see that there, and in the church today, there's even much confusion. A lot of churches don't even preach the rapture anymore. Don't even talk about the rapture. And they don't even want to talk about the second coming of Christ, the day of the Lord. They don't want to talk about it at all. And instead, they have taken a position that some churches have taken, that we've got to usher in the kingdom of God now in order for Jesus to come to take over his kingdom, and that we're going to be responsible for doing that. And it flies in the face of everything that is prophetically told will happen. And they also, many of those churches are becoming, they're very anti-Israel, and they've become replacement theology has become their main view of end times, where they say that the church is Israel. And nowhere in Scripture does the church called Israel. God still has to deal with Israel, and he has not fulfilled all of his prophecy given in Daniel dealing with the nation of Israel. So this afternoon, before we begin, let's just go to the Lord in prayer, and then I'm going to give you 13 points of difference between the rapture and the revelation, or the second, or the Christ coming with his 10,000s of saints in judgment. Lord, we pray that you would just speak to us this afternoon, open up our understanding, and help us as we examine these 13 points. And Lord, I pray that you would just give us wisdom, help us to be able to have discerning spirits. And even though we see many things falling in place that could speak of the rapture coming at any time, there don't have to be anything else to happen for the rapture to occur. Yet we know that many of the things that we're seeing being put into place will have to be there for the 70th week of Daniel, the last week of years, dealing with the nation of Israel, to take place. And Lord, we pray that you would just help us to have discerning spirits and know the difference. And as we look at Scripture and look at prophecy, that we could see what applies to Israel, what applies to the church, what applies to the rapture, and what applies to your coming as to establish your kingdom on earth. Lord, now speak to us. We pray through your word this afternoon as we look at these points, and help us to have a discerning spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We see that the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 17 talks about what is going to happen, and we spent about, I believe it was 2 or 2.5 messages dealing with the rapture and the fact that the church is caught up to be with the Lord. And so we see here that Christ comes in the air for his church. That is the rapture. And it speaks of the church going to meet the Lord. The Lord does not come down to earth and place his foot on the ground when he comes to the church. And the church isn't raptured up and come right back down, but rather we're caught up to be in the air. At the same time, in Zechariah 14:4, the day of the Lord is spoken of. And it talks about the fact that the Lord is going to come the earth to establish his kingdom and to judge. In Zechariah 14:4 it says, "And his feet shall stand in that day." And again, we refer to as when you see that day, it's referring to when Jesus physically returns to the earth a second time. It's often referred to as the day of the Lord, that day, the day of Jacob's trouble. And we see here it says, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem in the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south." It's going to be a spectacular event as Jesus comes and plants his foot on the Mount of Olives in that day. That is the day of his judgment upon the earth, where he comes to judge his enemies. The second point I wanted to see is, in the rapture, he comes for his saints. And again, we saw that as Paul was writing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 17. He comes for his saints. Paul made that specific point that they hadn't missed the rapture, that Jesus was still coming, but he was coming for his saints. We see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, and also in Jude 14, that on the day of the Lord, the day of wrath, the day of judgment, that he comes with his saints. And in Jude 14, we read, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with his 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them that all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." And so that's dealing with the lost. There is nothing spoken in that prophecy in Jude. When he comes with his 10,000s of saints, he returns with them, and he comes to judge the ungodly. And so we see that the day of the Lord is here, the day of judgment. The third point, the rapture is a